Do you hate the Jews? Let me repeat that. Do you hate the Jews? Actually, let me soften the question. Do you dislike or not care for the Jews? Like millions upon millions of people the world over do, are you one of the ones that fuel anti-Semitism? A person does that by hating or disliking or doing nothing, not standing up, not resisting and protesting attacks and threats against the Jews when they occur. To ignore the new and ever-growing anti-Semitism is to indirectly condone it. So, again, do you hate or dislike the Jews? I mean, honestly so? You know, I'm often astonished and frankly sickened by the fact that the world, comprised of more than 6 billion people, can have such hatred for 14 million, that's all, fellow citizens. In the whole world, there are little more than 14 million Jews. And, of course, with that hatred, the very same for the little nation of Israel. If you hate the Jews, then you probably hate the thought and the fact of the existence of the state of Israel. Why would anybody hate a state like Israel so much when it is merely the size of New Jersey? Why? There are 67 countries with Roman Catholic majorities in this world. 67. There are 49 countries with Islamic majorities. There are 49 countries with Protestant majorities. There are 14 countries with Eastern Orthodox majorities. There are 3 countries with Hindu majorities. And, my fellow Americans, 1 Jewish country. One. Only one. And that, of course, is the Promised Land, the Holy Land, the beloved of God, Israel. Israel. Recently, President Donald John Trump announced his decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. In due course, the United States will move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and that completely reverses the policies and intentions of former President Barack Hussein Obama, who ignored the legislation and will of Congress, since 1995, by the way, which required that move, and rather along with other presidents, signed a waiver which allowed the embassy to stay in Tel Aviv for a 6-month duration of reprieve and not have to move to Jerusalem. In my view, this very same Obama, who once said, "America has Israel's back," had utterly turned his back on Israel and the Jews. This former president, sounds good to me, that word former, in my opinion, was no friend of Israel or the Jews, or, in my view, Christians and Christianity at the same time. But Trump made what had increasingly become the hard decision and made the move, made the decision. Good for you, Mr. Trump. Of course, that decision brought howls of protests and even threats from so many sources. What one politico said, that included the outrageously one-sided Security Council of the United Nations, and any other number of nations beside the UN Council objected, including most in the European Union, and of course the Muslim countries, the African nations, and even certain Central American countries as well. Trump, whatever you think of him as a person, has so far in 11 months of his administration done or tried to do what he said he would. Don't you think that's a breath of political fresh air? And for that, I for one admire him, and I give him full credit. And frankly, with the appointment of Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, tax reform, and the continued hammering away at so much of the failed Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, Trump has made a great start at making America great again. Trump is a friend of Israel, a real one. And Trump is a friend of the Jews, unlike Obama. But the critics, and especially the radical liberal media, attacked the decision. The fatuous argument they made was that such a decision would derail any peace talks and further increase violence. But there really have been no constructive peace talks between the Israelis and the so-called Palestinians, and there really never will be, in my view, because all of the radical Islamic nations want Israel totally destroyed and every Jew living therein, and these are their words, buried at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. So much for peaceful coexistence and the existence of two states living side by side and in peace. That will never, ever happen. So Israel must protect itself. And in America and the world over, anti-Semitism ramps up. And now comes University of California, Berkeley, UCB, one of the most liberal, radical campuses in America. And this university actually offered a course, listen to this now, a course, a college course, which had the title, ready for this? How to Get Rid of Israel. Can you believe that? How to get rid of Israel, but no course on why not how to get rid of Gaza and Hamas, or Lebanon and Hezbollah, but how to get rid of Israel. But such is radical life at Berkeley in the once great state of California. And abroad, almost 40% of European Jews are afraid to wear a yarmulke or a Star of David in public. To identify themselves as Jews, either way, is to become, in their opinion, a target for violence, even terroristic assassination. And almost 60% of French Jews have considered emigrating because they do not feel safe living as Jews in France. Anti-Semitism at work. And that led Deborah Danan of Breitbart News to state the following. Today, we hear things about Jews and the Jewish people that we thought belonged to the page of history. Anti-Semitism is returning to everyday life without shame. Boy, is she right about that. And back to America. One professor, Michael Shikindis, actually called Judaism the following. Listen to this now. The most racist religion in the world. Are you kidding me? Does he know anything at all about Islam? Even claiming that the Armenian genocide was orchestrated by the Turkish Jews. A professor. Of course, he got away with it, and he still teaches. For to publicly proclaim anti-Semitism seems to be the new normal. It's everywhere. Jewish students at both UCLA and McGill University were denied positions in the school's student leadership groups. Why? Because of their involvement with Jewish causes. Incredible. And back to abroad. It just wasn't enough that the insane Adolf Hitler and all of his Nazi assassins murdered, slaughtered 6 million Jews. It wasn't enough. Now, radical, terroristic, and hate-filled Islam takes up the Hitler cudgel and is determined to, as one imam said, finish the job. Finish the job. And back to America. In 2017, there was a 50% rise in violent anti-Semitic attacks in the United States. 50% increase. Sadly, American college campuses, where anti-Semitic incidents doubled in the past year, have become an epicenter for that activity. And for the past 15 years, the radical left has joined forces with radical Islamic groups to promote the anti-Israel BDS movement. You know what that is, don't you? That's boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel. And the Jews, of course. This demonic movement dares to demonize the Jewish state in the same way that bigots have been demonizing the Jewish people for 3,000 years. Why? Why? 14 million against 6.5 billion. Why them? BDS groups are targeting and harassing Jewish and pro-Israel students on both sides of the political spectrum, even on the right. On the right or conservative side of America, the presidential campaign and the present political environment have brought a new visibility to the growing alt-right movement. Alt-right movement, which has coordinated attacks against Jews on social media channels. generated anti-Semitic materials, including anti-Semitic epithets, and the far right, perhaps typified by so-called neo-Nazis, becomes as terrorizing as the far left. And from the far left and radical Islam come the very same anti-Semitic attacks, and from that far left comes one Hatem Bazian, professor at, you guessed it, UC Berkeley, professor at Berkeley. Professor? America's hotbed for radicalism, the founder of Students for Justice in Palestine, and he called for an armed insurgency, or an intifada, you know, like a war, in the United States. A call to action that was nothing short of inciting violence against the American people. And he still teaches in California at UC Berkeley. He's still there teaching, and at the expense of California taxpayers. And you know, all of this anti-Semitism, wherever it's found, continues to ramp up, now triggered by the decision of President Trump to move the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Whew, what a world, my fellow Americans, what a world. And then, sadly to me, there are the so-called evangelicals. Today, to use the term evangelical is simply not possible, at least in my view. For, as it once was, evangelicalism was unified. But today it has changed, and in so many ways fundamentally. There is an evangelical faction growing called Christian Palestinianists. Christian Palestinianists. A Christian Palestinianist is a person who believes the Palestinian narrative, namely that Israel is a brutal occupier of the besieged Palestinian Arabs' territory. And there should be a strong right of return for those Arabs and those Palestinians in the minds of these current, modern, and millennial evangelicals. And in fact, it should be an ultimate objective supported by America. I wonder if these new millennial evangelicals have any sense of the right of the Jews to live in Israel, or that Israel as it is should exist at all. They now begin to adopt the mantra proposed by British scholar Paul Wilkinson, who wrote that Israel, get this, Israel was born in sin. Israel was born in sin. From the act of creation by the United Nations in 1948, the date of the founding of the State of Israel, to the some six wars thereafter, in all of which Israel was victorious and territory added, all such in biblical terms was accomplished, so says Wilkinson, as a result of sin. Sin. What? I mean, what does he mean by that? And the gullible, and especially the young evangelicals, buy in. And that led writer Jim Fletcher to state that among really nationally known clergy, only John Hagee, the Reverend Hagee is really a good man, and Franklin Graham, only those two national leaders really speak out and clear, loud and clear, about the threats from jihadists, including Palestinians the world over, against the Jews and the State of Israel. And then there's another narrative at work. It's called Christ at the Checkpoint. Have you heard of that? Yet another organization and movement, pro-Palestinian and anti-Semitic. Palestinians, they claim, should have the right of return and to otherwise break down Israeli barriers built to protect against so-called Palestinian violence and threats. And that movement continues to grow everywhere in America, and especially among America's youth, the young millennial evangelicals. Boy, oh boy, how do they come to those conclusions? Do they not know the Bible and the facts of the Bible and this world? Apparently not. And then there is Dr. Mitch Glasser, president of Chosen People Ministries. One good man, Glasser is. And he stated the following. I am concerned for the obvious decline in support for Israel among millennial followers of Jesus, who either do not know what they believe or do not seem to care. Millennials, says Glasser, either don't know what they purport to believe or they really don't care. Some, and maybe all of that, is true. There really is an ever-growing millennial malaise, a seeming indifference to Israel and the Jews, and an ever-growing acceptance of the Palestinian narrative. These so-called young millennial evangelicals simply do not know the facts and will not fully investigate those facts, and so they form their conclusions and beliefs on the basis of emotion, sentimentality, false doctrines, and even a benign form of intimidation. Surveys indicate that so many of these modern millennials really do not understand Israel's place in the biblical narrative. There is a growing concern for Israel and the Jews, for evangelicals have been firmly united in their support for this vital, democratic, and spiritual country, vital to America, and its defense in the Middle East, and its influence in the Middle East, and central in the true biblical narrative regarding the importance of the Holy Land in God's providence. But real Israelis and real Jews stand up, like the Zionist Organization of America, the ZOA, which proudly proclaims in the face of anti-Semitism the following: we proclaim the 3,000-year-old Jewish presence in and Jewish historical, legal, and religious right to the land of Israel. Amen, ZOA. Amen to that. And so do I. And all of the right-thinking evangelicals do the same. If you are Christian, and especially an evangelical Christian, I hope you believe the same as Scripture indicates, what is right for Israel and where it stands in the plan of Almighty God. Whatever America's position toward Israel, the Jews and other right-thinking people who live there are determined to survive and prosper and grow and live peacefully if they can. But they know how virulent anti-Semitism can be, and they want the world to know that the Holocaust, the fanatic killing of Jews there and everywhere, will never happen again. And they, the Israelis, will fight back with all they have and all their might. These right-thinking people want the world to know that the slaughter of Jews will happen never again. Never again. For 3,000 years, Israel was a nation founded, cultivated, and lived in by Jews. The nation rightfully belongs to them, and they have every legal, historical, and cultural right to live there. And then there is Jerusalem, the holy city, and in Israel, perhaps the world's most sacred spiritual piece of land, the Temple Mount. Have you ever been there? I have been there any number of times, and the spiritual experience is absolutely unbelievable, just unbelievable. And this sacred piece of land contains Muslim mosques and the western wall of the last Jewish temple. The land and its meaning are special in God's providence. The city and this land have incredible identities and purposes at the return, as Christians believe, of Jesus Christ. It almost seems prophetic that President Trump has made the decision to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of the Jews. That's what the Arabs and so many of the secular world countries object to. The world over, men and women seek peace, don't you? Boy, I do. Or as the Scripture states, the peace of Jerusalem. The peace of Jerusalem. And of course, the peace of the world. Would that that would happen. The decision by President Trump is scripturally correct, no matter the reaction of Palestinians, Islam, or the world. We, especially if we are Christian, we should support that decision. And the bottom line for evangelicals? The peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem. We should hope and pray for that. The real peace of Jerusalem and the world, in my view, can only be brought to the world and to Jerusalem and to Israel and to all mankind by the Prince of Peace.